when the Lord gave the feasts in Leviticus 23, they were for more than just the Israelites to observe at that time. While we are not commanded to keep the feasts and celebrating them is not necessary for salvation, during our next Facebook Live event, Dr. William R. Glaze will show how understanding the feasts will give us a deeper appreciation for this great salvation we have in Jesus Christ and how the work of Christ is deeply rooted in these Old Testament celebrations. Tune in to Anchored in Jesus Facebook Live event Tuesday, September 18th at 7:30 p.m. You will have an opportunity to ask questions about Dr. Glaze's series, The Feasts of Israel. Looking forward to seeing you at facebook.com/ Anchored in Jesus Ministries. Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today we will continue our series titled The Feast of Israel with the first half of The Feast of Pentecost. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of The Feast of Pentecost.
And this morning we're going to be talking about the Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of Pentecost, a very interesting feast that we'll be looking at today. In your scriptures, if you'll turn to Leviticus chapter 23, Leviticus chapter 23, and now I put it up here on the screen from the NIV, so if you want to read along on the screen or if you want to read in your Bibles. Leviticus 23, beginning in verse 15, and this is the Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of Pentecost. From the day after the Sabbath, the day you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, count off 7 full weeks. So that's 7 weeks, 49 days. And then add another day. He says, count off 50 days until the day after the seventh Sabbath, and then present an offering of new grain to the Lord. From wherever you live, bring 2 loaves made with 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour, baked with yeast, and a wave offering of first fruits to the Lord. Present with this bread, so they were to make this bread, offer it to the Lord, and on this day, the day of Pentecost, or the day, the Feast of Weeks, 7 male lambs, each a year old without defect, 1 young bull and 2 rams, and these were burnt offerings unto the Lord, together with their grain offerings and drink offerings, a food offering and aroma pleasing to the Lord. Then sacrifice 1 male goat for a sin offering, and 2 lambs, each a year old, for a fellowship offering. So we're going to break all these offerings down as we go through the sermon today. The priest is to wave the 2 lambs before the Lord as a wave offering. So you throw your hands up in the air and party hardy like you just don't care. Wave offering, you know. Okay. They are a sacred offering to the Lord for the priests. On the same day, you are to proclaim a sacred assembly and do no regular work. This is to be a lasting ordinance for generations to come wherever you live. When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Leave them there for the poor and the foreigner residing among you. I am the Lord your God. As we look at this offering today, I wanted to point something out in the King James Bible in verse 17. It says that you shall bring out of your habitation 2 wave loaves of a 10th part, and they shall be of fine flour, and they shall be baked. And here goes a key thing that we want to remember this morning, that they shall be baked with leaven. They shall be baked with leaven. Now, that's important as we go through the sermon today, because leaven is a representation of sin and evil. So why would God tell his people to use leaven, something that represents evil and sin, why would he tell them to use that in a holy feast unto him? So we want to point that out too. Now, as we've been doing, we have gone through, and if you'll put up the, the feast. So these are the feasts that we have been covering. These are the spring feasts of the Lord. We looked at Passover and saw how that represented the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. We looked at the feast on Maundy Thursday of unleavened bread and how that represented the burial of Jesus Christ. Then we examined the first fruits, which represents the resurrection of Christ. Now we are today looking at the feast of Pentecost and how it talks about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And for years, I was thinking about this week, that I've read the Bible and read about Jesus went up to the feast of the Passover. He celebrated the feast of first fruits. He celebrated the feast of unleavened bread. How he kept the feast of tabernacles. And so I read my Bible and was reading all this. And you know how you just don't make the connection. And so that was one of the drives that was in my spirit to say, I really want to understand these feasts because they seem to have more significance beyond just for Israel. And as I began to study them and find out that these are not the feast of Israel, but it says that these are the Lord's feast. So without Israel, these are still feasts that God has for his people of every generation. And so when we look at these spring feasts, particularly we see the importance and the relevance. Now, way back in the fall, we looked at the fall feast. And as we considered the fall feast, we talked about the Feast of Trumpets and said how that symbolizes the return of Jesus Christ. And this year it'll be celebrated on September 14th. We talked about the Day of Atonement, which was another feast, Yom Kippur, and how that represented atonement for sin, how Christ atoned for our sin. And then we talked about the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths, and how this is called Sukkot. And this year, on September 28th, as you ride through many Jewish neighborhoods, you'll see that they have tents or tabernacles out in their yard. And you might ask the question, why do they have these tabernacles out in their yard? Because they are celebrating Sukkot, or the Feast of Tabernacles. And this actually represents Jesus dwelling among us. Jesus dwelling among us. If you go to the next slide, please. Now, here's some important things that we want to remember. That the last week of the life of Christ, that he actually rode into the city of Jerusalem. We call it the triumphal entry, but that is a wrong designation for it. Because actually he rode in the city on what the Jewish people would call Lamb Selection Sunday. That's when they selected the lamb for the Passover. And then on Thursday night, which we would say is Maundy Thursday, Jesus celebrates the Last Supper. Well, what was he celebrating? When he sat down with his disciples, he was celebrating what? Passover. And so they were observing the Passover feast. Jesus was crucified, many believe, on Friday, and at the same time that the Passover lamb was killed, Jesus was being crucified on the cross. It's unbelievable when we think of the connections. And then I think about how that for 3 years they tried to take Jesus' life. And remember Jesus said? Jesus said, nobody takes my life. He said, I pick it up and I lay it down. And so what he was saying is, and it just boggles my imagination to think that he coordinated all these things with the major feast of the Lord. Saints, I tell you what, there's something to this. There's something here. And then he is actually buried and in the ground. Now, Passover started the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And unleavened bread was celebrated 7 days. And Jesus was in the ground the first 3 days of unleavened bread, which symbolizes his burial. And then we see another feast, the Feast of First Fruits. And when did Jesus rise? He rose on the day of the Feast of the First Fruits. And so he comes back to life. And they were told that from the Feast of First Fruits until the day of Pentecost, count 50 days. And so 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead, the Holy Spirit came. Wow. Wow. This stuff is deep, man. It just blows my mind. I'm almost ready to give the benediction and say, let's be dismissed. I mean, that's enough right there. Just grasping and understanding that right there is enough. So we've been looking at these feasts, and we've been using the word holy. And we said that the H stands for honor. What does this feast honor? The O stands for observance. How is it observed? The L stands for what lessons can be learned. And then the Y stands for how does it point to Yeshua. So let's dig into this a little bit today. You have your notes before you. When we think of the Feast of Weeks or the Feast of Pentecost, let me just go ahead and do this. What does it honor? The Feast of Weeks gets its name from the Hebrew word Shavuot, which means weeks. And it went by several names in the Old Testament: the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Harvest, the Feast of Ingathering, the Day of First Fruits. It was a feast of joyfulness and thanksgiving that celebrated the blessings of God upon their crops. In the New Testament, it was referred to as the Feast of Pentecost. The word Pentecoste is 50 in the Greek language. Now, here's a very interesting thing, is that many people believe that it was on the Feast of Pentecost that the Lord appeared to Moses on Mount Sinai and gave him the Ten Commandments. And so some and many Jewish people, as they celebrate Pentecost, they also celebrate the fact that God gave the law to Moses, many believe, on that day. So that kind of gives us a little background as to the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Pentecost. Now, how was it observed? All right, now you can read that first where it says the period of the feast, but let me just summarize it and say this. That from the Feast of First Fruits, which is the day that Jesus rose from the dead, they were told to count off 50 days, and that when they counted the 50 days, they were to celebrate Shavuot, or the Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of Pentecost. So that's how they arrived at this particular time period. Now, what were they to do on these days? The purpose of the feast, this is the only one that seems not to have an occasion. Passover symbolized their deliverance when the death angel came and they put the blood on the doorpost, and that reminded them that God passed over, the death angel passed over them. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, if you remember back, that they celebrate that because when they left Egypt, they left in haste and they didn't have time to put leaven in the bread. And then the Feast of First Fruits represents deliverance from Egypt to a land flowing with milk and honey. This is the only one of the spring feasts that really doesn't have an occasion. So I go back and I say, that's why many people believe that this was the day that God gave Moses the law. What were some of the practices during the feast? All right, well, there was offerings. And, I would encourage you, because I don't have time to do it. But you know, an interesting study, just go back in the Old Testament and study all the offerings. You know, it's amazing when you look at that and how they all connect to Christ. But look at the offerings that they were to bring on the Feast of Weeks. So when they came to worship the Lord, and there were three feasts that every male was required to go back to Jerusalem to celebrate. And this is one of them. So no matter where you were, if you were a male Jewish person, that you had to come back and celebrate the Feast of Weeks in Jerusalem. And when you came back, look at all the things they had to bring. Look at all these offerings. You know, we ought to praise God that God says, look, bring your checkbook and bring your money. We ought to praise him. Because look at all the things that they had to do. They had to offer burnt offerings, which was one bull, two rams, and seven male lambs. They had to offer grain offerings, which is what they did. They mixed flour and oil with these burnt offerings. So they had to bring not only the animals, but they had to bring oil and flour to mix with it. And then they had to offer a drink offering. And what was a drink offering? Well, Paul, remember in the New Testament, Paul said, I'm being offered up as a drink offering. What they would do with the drink offering is that they would take a hen or whatever it was of wine, and they would pour it on the sacrifice. And that was a drink offering. So now they got to bring all these animals. They got to bring flour. They got to bring oil. They got to bring leavened bread. And they have to bring some wine so they can pour upon each one of these sacrifices. Then they had to offer a peace offering, which was two male lambs. And then they took these two male lambs. So on top of the bulls, the rams, and the seven male lambs, they had to take two male lambs and slay them, and then the priest would offer them up as a wave offering unto the Lord. And then they had to have one goat as a sin offering. So again, praise God for checkbooks and currency. Then there was to be a holy convocation. There was no work to be done. And here's something unique, because this was the barley harvest. And so they were actually celebrating the barley harvest. So what they had to do is when they went out and they reaped the harvest, they had to leave the gleanings, which was what fell to the ground, and the corners of the field, they had to leave that for the poor people. And so that was a specific thing that God gave them to do. So when we see, look at Acts chapter, and we'll get here in a second, but look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Now, y'all stay with me, because there's some good preaching coming out of this. Acts chapter 2. Look what it says there. Verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come. So what does that mean? So we've read that, right? Over and over. We come to Acts 2. We read that. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come. What does that mean? That means that all these people were coming with all these sacrifices, offering them to the Lord when the day of Pentecost was fully come. And then they were leaving the corners of their field and the gleanings for the poor and the stranger. All right, what lessons can we learn from this? What lessons can we learn? Well, the first thing that I want to say is that it's very interesting that God said this offering was to be made with leavened bread. Now, why in the world would God tell them to make an offering with leavened bread? Especially given the fact that leaven in the Bible, it represents sin and evil. So why would God tell them this? So as I studied, there were a couple things that came out. The first thing that came out is there's a lesson about sin in the congregation. And that is that whether it's the congregation of Israel or if it's the congregation of the church, there's still sin. God is reminding them that in his institution that there's still sin. And look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. So this is a reminder that there is still sin in the congregation. The bread was to be, most of the time, it was to be without leaven. But here it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we have a man who is actually having a sexual relationship with his father's wife, which would be his stepmother. And Paul said that, you know, this stuff is going on in the church, and, you know, you guys are just kind of winking at it. You know, you're smiling, and it's business as usual. He said that look at verse 2. He said, and you are puffed up, and have not rather mourned. You know, you should be brokenhearted that this thing is done among you, that it might be taken away from you. He said, for I have verily, as absent in body but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you gather together, and my spirit with the power of Christ, Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan. You know, this guy's, let me go on and read. Deliver him to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his soul, his spirit, might be saved in the day of the Lord. For your glorying is not good. The fact that you have let this go on, it's not good. Don't you know that a little, what we have here? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So look here, leaven actually represents evil. And he says that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. He said, purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. Wow. So what is God looking for? He's looking for unleavened people. He's looking for people without sin, without evil. He said that you are unleavened. Why? Because Christ is our Passover, is sacrificed for us. So this is a reminder. The fact that he said to bake the bread with the leaven in it is a reminder to all of us that there is sin in the body. And not only that, but I think it's a reminder to us as individuals that we are going to have to deal with sin in our life. That there's always some leaven. There's always some leaven around us. Whether it's our thoughts, our actions, our words, our attitudes, that's leaven. And if you don't deal with the leaven in your life, your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? And so you keep messing around with this leaven in your life, and it's going to take control. It's going to begin, it's like that yeast, it's going to begin to grow and manifest. And so he leaves this leaven in the bread to remind his people that there's sin all around us, and that we need to deal with it biblically through confession, cleansing, and forgiveness. You know, just look at your life right now. What leaven is hanging around your life? What little leaven? Is it some relationship that you should have let go? I heard this poem. I can't quote it, but it said, you kicked the devil out, but you let him leave his bags. Right? A little leaven. You put him out. You put the man out. But he left a little bit of leaven there. And if you don't, you got to deal, if you see the slightest bit of leaven in your life, you got to deal with it and put it out. So what leaven is there hanging around in your life at this time? The second lesson that I believe that we can learn.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of the Feast of Pentecost from our series titled The Feasts of Israel. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, The Feast of Pentecost, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Feast of Pentecost. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Feast of Pentecost. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877 877- 831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.